Modern Revelation, Elder Franklin D. Richards, Franklin D. Richards, Conference Report, April 1965, pages 107-110. My dear brothers and sisters, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will guide and direct me as I speak to you on this the 135th anniversary of the organization of the Church. Differences. One of the most frequent questions asked members of the Church is, what is the difference between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and other churches? All that God has revealed. There are many important differences, but one of the most basic and significant is stated in our 9th article of faith. We believe all that God has revealed, all that He does now reveal, and we believe that He will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Many call us a peculiar people because we believe in modern revelation. By way of explanation, in the year 1820 Joseph Smith, a boy of 14, living in the state of New York, was interested in joining a church but was unable to determine which church was right. If any of you lack wisdom, in his own words he said, while I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by the contests of these parties of religionists, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, 1st chapter and 5th verse, which reads, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Never did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man than this did at this time to mine. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. At length I came to the conclusion that I must either remain in darkness and confusion, or else I must do as James directs, that is, ask of God. I at length came to the determination to ask of God, so in accordance with his determination to ask of God, one beautiful spring morning in 1820 he retired to a grove of trees on his father's farm and knelt in prayer. My beloved son, as he was praying he saw a pillar of light exactly over his head, above the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon him. When the light rested upon him, he saw, standing above him in the air, two personages in the form of men, whose brightness and glory defied all description. One of them called Joseph Smith by name and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. He could see them as clearly as we see one another, and he could see that his own body was created in the image and likeness of God. At that time the Church is taught that God was only a spirit, that he had no body. He is the Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. Yes, God does have a body, and he made us to be like him. I know this to be true, that God lives and that Jesus is our Savior and Redeemer. In the grove of trees that day, Joseph Smith asked the Savior which of all the sects was right and which he should join. He was told that he should join none of them, for they were all wrong, that they taught for doctrines the commandments of man, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. This was a most startling message as it was an indictment of all churches in existence at that time. Vision outstanding. Joseph Smith's vision is probably the most outstanding in the history of God's relationship with man. With the exception of Stephen's vision as described in the 7th chapter of Acts, God the Father has remained in the background, the Jehovah of the Old Testament being the pre-existent Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Son of God the Father. With the opening of the dispensation of the fullness of times, it was entirely appropriate that a fullness of the knowledge of God should be revealed to the prophet. The importance of the dispensation was indicated by the Father introducing the Son to the prophet Joseph. I bear you my witness that Joseph Smith is indeed one of the great prophets of all time. It is difficult to appreciate the far-reaching effects of the prophet's first vision, the first direct revelation in modern times. Consider for a moment what it did. Concept of the Godhead. First, it clarified the conception of the Godhead. It made it clear that God does have a body, parts, and passions. He appeared to Joseph Smith as a glorified man. This being so, man is in form the same as God. The scriptures taught that man was created in the likeness and image of God. But it took this vision to restore the correct conception of God, oneness of the Godhead. Second, it clarified the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, appeared as two separate and distinct personages, as separate and distinct as any earthly father and son. This makes it clear that the oneness of the Godhead is a type of unity of mind and purpose. Revelation continues. Third, it proved that revelation from God to man had not ceased even though Christendom taught otherwise. Thus this great vision restored to man the true concept of God, made known that there had been an apostasy from the doctrines of the Church of Christ, opened a new dispensation, and provided a new witness for God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. He will reveal many great and important things. In contemplating the knowledge that came to man through Joseph Smith's first vision, one can more fully understand the meaning of the 9th article of faith. We believe all that God has revealed, all that He does now reveal, And we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Especially note the words, we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Authority restored. In keeping with this belief and subsequent to the first vision, the Lord through his prophet restored the priesthood the authority to act in the name of God and authorized and directed the re-establishment of his church on the earth. Membership in the church affords every person a chance to serve, and service brings forth true happiness and peace together with personal growth and development. The gospel restored. Through the prophets that have stood at the head of Christ's church in this dispensation, the gospel in its fullness has been restored. The Book of Mormon and other modern revelations have brought increased knowledge and understanding, answering many vital questions such as, what is the purpose of life? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where do we go after death? What is our relationship to God? How do we obtain happiness, peace, and progress eternally? The first vision of Joseph Smith clearly indicated the need of continuing revelation through a prophet. This need is likewise pressing today. The confused and frustrated condition of mankind is indicated in an article which recently appeared in a leading newspaper entitled, Nation at Crossroads of Advancement or Fall. Our progress, our genius, our productivity will go down in history, but where do we go from here? We've taken to the worship of money and pleasure, twisted moral values to suit ourselves, and scoffed at integrity. We have behaved like great civilizations of the past when they've become pleasure-ridden just before they crumbled. Where do we go? What are our new goals? To some, our goal is a simple one. We're rich. Let's get richer. We hear of 3 cars to a family, instead of 2, 4-day work weeks and 3 days a week for amusement and indolence. It is questionable whether 3 cars will save a family from divorce, or from spiritual emptiness, or from boredom. Getting richer was yesterday's frontier. The new frontier is what logically follows the job of making a living. It is making a life, finding new paths to family harmony, relatedness to God and fellow humans, inner ease instead of tensions, in other words peace, goodwill toward man. Jesus was called the Prince of Peace, and at his coming the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. It was God's wish that everyone would share this great gift of peace and goodwill. Peace and joy characterize his kingdom according to the Apostle Paul, who declared, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, and peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Family harmony, the relief of inner tensions and genuine peace can be obtained by adhering to the principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and by following the counsel and direction of God's prophet. Family and home. Recently, President McKay re-emphasized the importance of the home and the role of parents in a program which is called Teaching and Living the Gospel in the Home. This program provides for a weekly family night. He said, no other success can compensate for failure in the home, but promised that in those homes that followed the program, love at home and obedience to parents will increase, and faith will develop in the hearts of the youth of Israel, and they will gain power to combat evil influences and temptations, and to choose righteousness and peace, and be assured an eternal place in the family circle of our Father. I call your attention again to the 9th article of faith, wherein it states, we believe that will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The family night program is an excellent example of this and an evidence of the need of continued revelation and a prophet to guide and direct us. Testimony. I testify in all solemnity that God has raised up a prophet today, and that he is the head of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, President David O. McKay. I urge all members of the church to follow the counsel of this prophet. And to you who are not members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but desire peace and relief from inner tensions, investigate the message that God has again spoken to men through a prophet. The Lord has restored the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness and re-established his church with the power to act in the name of God. I bear witness that these things are true. You, too, may know that they are true by earnestly studying, praying, and attending the church services. We invite you to do so. I leave this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.